right. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. Proverbs, chapter 5. So, one of the many blessings, and there are many, but one of the many blessings of preaching through books of the Bible, going book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, one of the blessings of that, one of the many blessings, is you deal with subjects and you cover areas where you would not probably cover if it was left up to you. And that's the case today with Proverbs chapter 5. If it was left up to me, I would probably not preach a sermon on Proverbs chapter 5. But that's the blessing of going verse by verse, book by book, is that God's wisdom touches every area of our lives. And we need to hear God's wisdom in every area of our lives. Amen? We need to hear it. And so today, God's wisdom touches an area of our life. It touches our marriage. It touches faithfulness in marriage. It touches unfaithfulness in marriage. And so really what God's Word does today is a couple of things. Number one, it warns us of the dangers, and it warns us of the powerful pain and consequences that come through unfaithfulness in marriage. And so that's basically the first half of the chapter. It warns us of the painful consequences of unfaithfulness, and really the painful consequences of all sexual sin. And then in the last half of the chapter, what he does is God in his wisdom points us to deeply enjoy the pleasures of a faithful marriage. So God has ordained marriage, God has created marriage, and God has said that it's in this marriage relationship that I want you to enjoy to the fullest all the blessings and the benefits of a relationship between a man and a woman. And it's in this relationship that I've created for you to enjoy that. And then outside of that is where, you know, when we venture outside of God's wisdom and outside of God's plan, that's when we experience the painful consequences of unfaithfulness and the powerful consequences of, really, all sexual sin. And so God made us in every way, right? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us as physical beings. God made us with the appetites that we have. How many people are hungry right now? You're like, I could eat something right now, all right? So we have physical I heard somebody's stomach growling up here just a minute ago. That was Mr. Phelps right there. I didn't want to call you out, but I thought it was. And so God made us with all these appetites. And so, you know, when we're finished here today, we're gonna get something to eat. You know, I've got a classic meal lined up. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I know you'll get really hungry if I tell you what I'm going to be eating today. So we have, when you think about it, God didn't have to create us to actually eat or drink. He didn't have to. But he did. He did, and there's a lot of things he wants us to understand, and we'll see this image of water, the metaphor of water in our text today, and of course, it's how it satisfies thirst, and there's so many pictures of that. Jesus at the woman of the well said, you know, you're here, you want this water, of course, to satisfy your physical thirst, but let me tell you, you drink of this water, and you will thirst again, but I've got water that if you drink of this well and this water, you will never thirst again. And so there's a lot of reasons why God made and created us the way that he did. So we have this physical hunger and appetite that we're going to all, most of us, satisfy after the service. We all have this craving and longing for relationship. God said in the very beginning, it's not good for man to be what? alone. And none of us like to be alone. Well, most all of us don't like to be alone. God made and created us in such a way to where we thrive in relationship. And so that's why, you know, sometimes God, you know, has ordained for people to be single, and God accomplishes many beautiful and wonderful things through, if he calls a person to be single, and it is a calling. But most often God calls us into a relationship with one another, and there's this longing, this hunger that we have, that I want to know the joy of living my life with this man or living my life with this woman. And so where did that come from? This powerful longing for relationship, this powerful hunger for intimacy and relationship, human relationship. It came from God. We're made in his image. God, for all of eternity, has existed in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. For all of eternity, God has existed in relationship. We could go on and on. But then as our text, Proverbs chapter 5, our text addresses how God also has made us not only with an appetite for hunger, not only for an appetite for relationship, a longing for relationship, but God has made us as sexual beings also. And God in his wisdom has a plan for that. Now, I know it's kind of like, oh no. But listen, in these next few chapters, God's going to have a lot to say about this topic. And if he says a lot about it, it says to me that we need to hear it. That we need to hear it. So God has, he's got this thing planned out. God's wisdom for everyday living, God's wisdom for our lives. If we follow God's wisdom for our lives, I can promise you this, your life will not be perfect, but it will work. And if you don't follow God's wisdom for your life, not only are you going to have to deal with all the stuff that we deal with in life, but you're going to experience heartache and pain and sorrow. Your life is going to be broken. Outside of God's wisdom is just hurt and pain and brokenness. When we follow God's wisdom and we submit and we acknowledge, God, I don't know it all and I don't have all the answers and I'm going to follow your plan for my life. When we acknowledge that and follow God's plan and God's wisdom, that's when life works. And if I just read Proverbs 5 and closed the book, every one of us would nod our head in agreement and say, amen, that is true. That is true. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read the whole chapter. And I'm going to let God's word speak. Dale, you cannot go home after I finish reading. I do have 3 points. You know that by now. We can't limit the Holy Spirit. You never know what God might do. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 5. And so just to kind of give you an idea, the first 6 verses is kind of an introduction. And it's a father. So the wisdom of God is, in Proverbs 5, the wisdom of God is revealed as a godly father who has experienced life and seen how life works. A father is having a conversation with his son. A son who maybe is getting ready to get married, or maybe a son who just got married. And so he's sharing with him wisdom about how life works according to God's plan as it relates to marriage. And so he will begin with some warnings, and then he will, up to verse 14, he will show some of the consequences, the painful consequences, of stepping outside of God's wisdom and going according to your own sinful desires and lust. And then the next verses 15 down through 20, he will show the wisdom of God, how God has created marriage to be a precious gift to enjoy deeply, and for these sexual desires that he's created us with, to be satisfied in this marriage relationship. And then the last three verses are a conclusion to consider what has just been said. So look at verse 1 with me. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path of Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. And you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. Now, in these next few verses, we see the wisdom of God in marriage. Drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. Should your springs be scattered abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them be for yourself alone and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love. Why should you be intoxicated, my son, with a forbidden woman, and embrace the bosom of an adulteress? For a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he is held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. May God bless the reading of his word. God's wisdom, first of all, in our text, warns us of the painful consequences of unfaithfulness in marriage, and really, of all sexual sin. And so God's wisdom warns us in a few ways. First of all, God's wisdom warns us not to be fooled by the sweetness or the smoothness of seduction. He says in verse 3, the lips of the forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. And so God in his wisdom says you've got to look past that beginning, that initial contact, the initial allurement, the initial temptation, the initial excitement. You have to look past that to the end. How many of you have heard, you've got to start with the end in mind as you're planning the journey, or you're thinking about a business, or you're thinking about a course of action? You think, well, where do we want to go? What does the end look like? And then you figure out, well, how can we get there? This is what we want to accomplish. This is what we want it to be like. How can we get there? And so God is kind of saying that to us in our text. God in his wisdom is saying, if you look to the end of where going down this trail will lead with giving in to unfaithfulness and sexual temptation, if you look to the end, where it leads is bitterness and pain. At the outset, there's this appearance of honey. The lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, but he says, really, in the end, she's as bitter as wormwood. You know, I'm reminded of when I was a kid, the Hershey chocolate. You know, I love Hershey. I love chocolate, period. But we had this can of Hershey cocoa that you used to cook with. And I thought, and I got into that can, and it was this powdery sugar, and I thought, man, this is going to be amazing. You know, it's like, was it Nestle, the stuff that, the powdery Hershey that you can make chocolate milk with? I'm like, man, I'm going to just get a spoonful of this stuff. And so I took a big old hopping spoonful of that Hershey cocoa, and it was just gross. I was gagging and puking. And so that Hershey logo gave the appearance of, man, there's something sweet in here. But it really wasn't. And that's exactly the way God in his wisdom warns about unfaithfulness in marriage. There is the appearance of sweetness. The outward seems to be sweet like honey. But once you've tasted and you've got past that initial taste, all that's left is bitterness. Wormwood is a plant, and everywhere it's mentioned in the Bible, it's associated with bitterness. With bitterness. And so the wisdom of God, and we know the wisdom of God is true, when we sin against God sexually, the next day there's nothing but bitterness. Or a few hours, there's nothing but bitterness. And not only that, he says the smoothness is then in the end turned to sharpness. He says, her speech is smoother than oil, but in the end, it's really as sharp as a two-edged sword. In the original, in the literal, it's a sharp as a two-mouthed sword. In other words, it's a sword that devours. It's a painful devouring. And so men and women, God is saying to us in his wisdom, don't be fooled by the apparent sweetness or smoothness of the moment. The lasting impact of how you will feel tomorrow or the next day or the next year reveals the truth about the present moment. How will this be in the end? That's what God's wisdom is saying to us. And so God's wisdom warns us not to be fooled by the sweetness and the seduction of the moment. We're surrounded by that today. Television, online, internet stuff. And all of it is sweet, the appearance of sweet, the smoothness, the calling, the invitation. Or maybe it's just the sweetness or the smoothness of a relationship that's blossoming at work. Or a relationship that's blossoming at the gym. And boy, it just seems so sweet and so smooth. And there's a temptation. But God is saying, look to the end. And when you look to the end, all that's left is bitterness and pain when you go outside of God's wisdom. God in his wisdom warns not only not to be fooled by the sweetness and the smoothness, but God's wisdom also warns that sexual sin will drain you and deplete you in every way. Look at that in verses 9 and 10. He says, he says in verse 8, keep your way far from her. Verse 9 says, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And so your honor your years, your strength, your labors, all depleted, all drained away. Your good name, your good reputation, your accomplishments, your all that you've accumulated, everything that's taken you so long to build up and to work for and to establish, and it's all going to be drained away and depleted. In Judges chapter 16, we see Samson. Strongest man, right? Picture of power and strength. A man who was so blessed by God. But Samson, in his mind, he knew what was best. He didn't have to follow God's wisdom. He didn't have to follow God's plan. And so he decided to step outside of God's plan and God's wisdom for his life. In many ways, but certainly sexually. And when finally, after one step after another, he steps outside of God's wisdom. One step after another, he moves further and further away from God's plan and God's path outside of God's wisdom. He finally reveals the secret, of course, of his hair. And when his hair is cut, they come in, the Philistines come in, and the scripture tells us that they gouge out his eyes. His hair is gone, his strength is gone, his honor is gone. All that he's worked for is gone. His reputation is gone. It's all depleted. Everything's gone. And then you've got this man who's blind and bald and weak. And that's a picture. Just look at Samson there grinding away as a slave. That's a picture of what stepping outside of God's wisdom will do. It's a very vivid, very graphic picture. But that's what sin will literally do to us. It will deplete and drain us of all that we work for, all that we've accumulated, when we say to God, we know what's best, and we can do what we want to do. Now, there's an end to Samson's story, and we'll maybe talk about that here in just a second. God's wisdom warns that sexual sin will drain and deplete you in every way. And then one final word about this opening part. God's wisdom warns that sexual sin will also lead to a life of pain and regret. He says in verse 11, at the end of your life, you groan. You groan. When your flesh, and it's a spiritual groaning, it's an emotional groaning, it's an aching of the conscience. The end of your life, you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, and here you hear the words of regret, how I despise discipline. I wish that I wouldn't have despised God's discipline. I wish my heart would not have despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. God's wisdom warns us that it will lead, unfaithfulness will lead to pain and regret. Psalm 51 is David's prayer, his painful prayer of God, have mercy and forgive me and cleanse me, after he was unfaithful with Bathsheba, and then, of course, committed murder to cover it up. You see, when you step outside of God's wisdom, that's what sin does. It just leads. It just builds. And listen to the pain and the agony and the regret in David's voice. In Psalm 51, he says in verse 8, Lord, let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken may rejoice. In other words, David had not heard joy and gladness for a long time. What David was experiencing spiritually, inwardly, was like all of his bones were broken. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. God's warning us of the consequences, the painful consequences of unfaithfulness. And God's word to us today is in verse 8, keep away. Keep away. Don't go near. We are absolutely foolish to think that we can play with this type of fire and not be burned. And it's also foolish and arrogant for us, men and women, to sit here today and think, I'm above this sin. I'm too strong for that. David was a man after God's own heart. And so if we're sitting here and we're thinking, and our thought process is, well, this may be good for someone, but it's not good for me, that just says that we don't understand how powerful this sin is and how weak our sinful nature is. God is warning us today to keep our way far from her. It's absolutely foolish to think that we can play around with this and not get burnt. But the second part of our text today, God's wisdom points us not just to stay away, but there's another plan, another strategy that God has for us. God in his wisdom points us to deeply enjoy the pleasures of a faithful marriage. God in his wisdom points us to deeply enjoy the pleasures of a faithful marriage. Look at verse 15. He says, drink water from your own cistern, flowing water from your own well. And so God gives the metaphor of water to illustrate the satisfying of a deep thirst. And here's what God's saying. He's saying, I created marriage between a man and a woman to be that well, to be that cistern, to satisfy these sexual longings that I've created you with. And he's also saying that no one outside of this marriage relationship is allowed to drink it that well. Drink water from your own cistern and flowing water from your own well. God's wisdom is for a man and a woman to be crazy in love with one another, to delight in one another. Look what he says in verse 18. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. He says, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. You know, that's kind of an example that we don't really get today. Some of you are like, if I see a deer, I'm going to shoot it, right? You know, when I think of a deer, I'm thinking hunting. I'm not thinking. But what he's saying here, as you look at the beautiful dark eyes of a deer and the silky hair, and you know, you just see how beautiful and graceful. The point is, God is saying, enjoy the beauty of your wife. Enjoy the beauty of your wife. And tell her how beautiful she is. Be intoxicated, he says, with her love and the love of a marriage. And so, God in his wisdom says, I'm going to create this thing called marriage. I think Lou talked about it in Aaron in Genesis chapter 3 or 2 this morning in Sunday school class. God in the Garden of Eden made the first man and the first woman. And he says, I want you to come together. And in this beautiful relationship that I've created, I want you to drink deeply in a way that satisfies this deep longing that I've placed within both of you. And as you come together, each well is exclusive. It's for no one else to enjoy. And so when we think of marriage and we think of God's plan and God's gift of marriage for us to enjoy all these blessings. That means we've got to work really hard on our marriages. It means that we need the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to touch our marriages. Marriage is not easy. There's no perfect marriage. You know, we've heard it. When you have a marriage, you have two sinners, two imperfect people coming together to form an imperfect union. Marriage is hard because when you have two sinful, selfish people coming together, it requires a lot of work. And so we need, and our only hope for our marriages today to get to the place where we are enjoying and delighting in one another and rejoicing in the husband and the wife of our youth and enjoying the beauty of one another, we need the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to invade our marriages and our homes. I believe that through persistent prayer, the Holy Spirit can unleash the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our marriages. It's only through the power of the gospel that in our marriages we'll have the power to serve one another. It's only through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who came because he was concerned about my needs and my interests, it's only through the power of the gospel that we can live out what Philippians chapter 2 says, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to their own interests, but to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours only in Christ Jesus. Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. See, if we live and walk and prayerfully move in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, how Jesus saw equality with God not something to be held, but something to be let go, and humbled himself and came as a servant. That's what we need in our marriages. We need a spirit of servanthood. God's called me to be her servant. God's called me to focus on her needs before my own. God's called me to focus on her interests. It's really simple. It's really hard, but it's really simple. You want to know how a marriage works? A marriage works when you have two people who are focused on the well-being of the other person, first and foremost. When it's all about serving her and focused on meeting her needs, and do I do that all the time? No, I don't. But as I'm walking in the gospel, God will convict me when I don't. And I'll ask for forgiveness sometimes. No, I will ask for forgiveness. And let me just say, men, it's our responsibility to take the lead here. It's our responsibility to take the lead. It's my responsibility. And so if my marriage is not how it needs to be, it's my responsibility. And it's not if God would just fix her. No, God needs to fix me. He's got to fix me. He's got to humble me. He's got to break me of my pride and selfishness. He's got to make me more of a servant like Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can make these kind of marriages, folks. Only Jesus can. Only the gospel can. And if we will pray, and if we will seek the Lord, and if we will walk in the Word, and if we will saturate our hearts with the gospel, you know what God will do? He'll transform our marriages. Now, some of you have marriages where maybe one person is saved and one person is not saved. And if you are the lady who is saved and your husband is not saved, then God's called you to be Jesus Christ. And hopefully through being Christ to your husband and serving him and trying to focus on being a blessing to him, that God will display Jesus to him and he will be saved. But that's another issue. All I'm saying today is, it's only through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that we can have these kind of marriages where we can enjoy the pleasures the way God wants us to enjoy them. And let me just say one other word about that. Don't think that God gave you your spouse to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. God gave you Jesus to satisfy the deepest longings of your soul. Only Jesus can satisfy the deepest longings. And when you delight yourself in Christ, He is your treasure and He is your joy. Then and only then will you be able to delight in and be satisfied with the love of your spouse. Don't think about marriage as, oh, this person is going to make me happy. Yes, marriage is a precious and a good gift, but only a relationship with Jesus Christ can make you happy. Only a relationship with Jesus Christ can bring deep joy and satisfaction. And then it's out of that joy and happiness and satisfaction that you found in Christ that you can enjoy all the gifts in the way that God intends for them. You can enjoy the gift of marriage and enjoy all the blessings that God has for you in marriage. Your wife is not going to be your Savior. Your husband's not going to be your Savior. Only Jesus can be your Savior. And let me just say, and I want to close with this word. God in His wisdom declares that there is healing from those who are broken today by past choices. Listen. Romans 3:23 is very clear. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. In every area of our lives, we've sinned. We have sinned sexually, each and every one of us, in our minds, in our actions, in our past choices. We've all fallen short. And so you may be here today, and as we've talked about these things, man, Maybe some things have come to the surface, and maybe there's some pain, and maybe there's some regret, and maybe there's some deep sorrow. But what I want you to know today is that there's good news. And the good news is that in Jesus Christ, you can experience healing. You can experience washing. You can experience cleansing. You can experience the purifying power that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. There's so much that I want to say about this. I want to read a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 11. He says, Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the good news. Such were some of you. And we would all say, yes, Such were some of us. But you were, what's that next word? Washed. Praise God. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I got a lot of examples, but I'm just going to close with Rahab the harlot. Rahab the prostitute, it says in Joshua chapter 2. That's how she's described. Rahab the prostitute. But let's talk about Rahab. So here's a woman whose life has been wrecked with the pains of sexual immorality and sin and living outside, of course, God's wisdom. Of course, she didn't know God's wisdom at the time. But she'd experienced all those painful things of living outside of God's wisdom and God's plan for marriage. And then we know the story. She opened up her home to the spies. And out of this mighty city-state, nation-state that was destroyed, Jericho, there was only one family that was spared. It was Rahab, the prostitute, who was spared. Rahab would marry Salmon, S-A-L-M-O-N. I doubt it's Salmon, probably Salmon. So Rahab would marry Salmon, and they would give birth to Boaz. And who would Boaz marry? Ruth. And then Ruth would give birth to Obed, and then Obed would give birth to Jesse, and then Jesse would give birth to David. Do you know that Ruth is the great-great-grandmother of David? God has a way. Listen, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter. And what I mean by that is, yes, of course it matters. But what I want you to know is that no matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus can heal and restore and renew. And the blood of Jesus can bring healing. The blood of Jesus can make you pure again. And so this morning, there is hope. There's hope and there's comfort in what Christ has done. But the only way you will experience it is if you humble yourself and you bow the knee to Jesus. And if you come to Jesus, you will experience healing, you'll experience renewal, you'll experience a joy that you can't describe. Let's bow our heads this morning for a word of prayer. Oh Lord, as we come before you today, God, we just are in awe of your wisdom. We are in awe, Lord, of how your wisdom touches every area of our lives. And God, when we follow your wisdom, that's when life works. And when we don't, that's when life begins to fall apart. And Lord, maybe there's some people here today who just kind of feel like their lives are just in pieces. And Lord, I pray that they will see Jesus having a conversation with the woman at the well who'd had five husbands and the man that she was currently with was not her husband. And Jesus redeeming her and saving her and making her whole and giving to her that water of everlasting life, that water that will wash and cleanse her. We're going to see that woman one day in heaven. We're going to have a conversation with that woman at the well that Jesus came and saved her and healed her and restored her. And so, Lord, I pray if there's some here today that just feel broken, they feel regret, they feel pain, I pray, Lord, that they would see that you are welcoming them with open arms and ready to restore and heal and forgive and cleanse if they will simply come to you. And so, Lord, be honored and glorified. I also pray, God, for our marriages today. I pray, Lord, that you will work in our marriages. And God, that you will help our men, Lord, to be Christ. I pray for the power of the gospel, God, to just fall upon our marriages. Lord, that our marriages, Lord, would experience the joy and the happiness, Lord, that you want us to experience. And so, Lord, just be glorified. And God, we just trust in your Spirit to take this word and to use it in all of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.